Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. The Bliss of Marriage Part 2 every Wednesdays between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. I want to thank my beloved engineer this morning, Brother Bonface. Let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Company. And of course, let's welcome our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. It's the 26th of Safar 1442, corresponding to the 14th of October 2020. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad into the program. Ustad, welcome to the Bliss of Marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan ma'an arafat. Barakallahu feekum. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Today we start on a sad note. My cousin Hafiz Ismail, who's currently still in Jeddah, inshallah he'll arrive tomorrow. And Hafiz Nazir and brother Yunus, who are there in Pietermaritzburg. Their beloved father, Haji Ibrahim Muhammad, passed away. And now is his janazah, 11 o'clock. May Almighty Allah grant Haji Ibrahim Muhammad Jannatul Firdaus. May Almighty Allah grant the family Sabri Jameel. And may Almighty Allah Jalla make it easy for Hafiz Ismail to come immediately in tonight, tomorrow, inshallah. And you know, nowadays with the COVID-19, so even traveling is so difficult. May Almighty Allah Jalla make it easy for all the parties and grant the marhum Haji Ibrahim Muhammad of Peter Marisburg, Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ameen, 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 Thumma Ameen. We start with an anonymous Ustad. Dear Mufti Sahab, my wife has sponsored many people over the years to go for Hajj, but has never sent me. She knows I cannot afford the high prices and says I must sit put. I so wish to go, Mufti Sahab, and was offered by a man who says if I marry his daughter, he will send us. This is an option my wife does not consider. Help me decide what to do. Anonymous Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I need to analyze this question properly. The way I understand it, it might be that your wife, prior to getting married to you, already performed a hajj, a compulsory hajj and pilgrimage with her father, with her parents or whatever you. And thereafter, mashallah, she was sending many, many people. And Allah alone knows what money she was using. Was she using zakat money, therefore sending poor people? Or was she using lillah money and for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah? In Islam, normally, the husband takes his wife. Now you say that your wife has to sponsor you. So remember, if your wife has not sponsored, not performed a hajj, then it's a different issue. But I think that she has performed the hajj, then it's not compulsory that she has to sponsor you. And if you are a poor person, then hajj is not compulsory upon you. And if it's zakat money she's giving, then she can't give zakat money to the husband. So all these are issues that we need to be clear about. Second issue is somebody sponsored you, was prepared to sponsor you, but what conditions? You must marry their daughter and what have you. So all that, remember, is not permissible. When a person wants to give you a gift, they can't make conditions in Islam. So the gift must be given to the giftee, the recipient, without any conditions. So that one there also is null and void. So anyway, brother, it seems that Hajj is not compulsory upon you, so there's no sin upon upon you. However, every person, male, female, adult and child, we all want to go to Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala protect the Haramain Sharifain from all the enemies, particularly the Shia, the Kuffar Shia. And remember Majlul Aqsa Al-Mubarak from the Yahud, the Zionist apartheid regime. And inshallah, you want to go for Hajj, then never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Chapter 39, Surah 39, verse 53. Daily, and today is Wednesday, so you should read 2 rakat salat after Zuhr extra, and make dua and read Surah 2, verse 128. Wa arina manasikana wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala hamku sabku inshallah, Allah will make all of us His mehman and His guest as well. Speaking of Wednesday, remember that this afternoon after Zuhr, between Zuhr and Asr, du'as are accepted. And in the hadith is mentioned in Al-Adabul Mufrad. Likewise, if you study Seerah of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Wednesday, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made du'a. Allahumma izzal Islam bi Umar ibn al-Khattab or bi Amr ibn Hisham. Yeah, bring Umar to our side, or bring Amr. Amr bin Hisham became Abu Jahl, dispatched to Jahannam and the hellfire. Umar became Samirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Wednesday, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the dua. Thursday, he, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, embraced Islam. Our mother Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha, says radiallahu anhu, you want to start something, start on a Wednesday. So remember, if you want reference, open Al-Maqasidul Hasana. So therefore, it's very good that inshallah today, you, the husband, leave your wife's purse and wallet and whatever, and you connect yourself to Almighty Allah. Read Ya Wahhabu Ya Wahhab Ya Fattahu Ya Fattah. Allah Jalla Wala will make the means and arrangement through His grace and mercy.
Prophet says, Ustad, that we were told also that not allowed to hit our wives, but didn't our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hit one of his wives? I stand for correction, Ustad.
Totally wrong. We must be very careful when we say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did something. Man kazaba alayya mutaammidan falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar. Who lies against me deliberately, then he must already prepare his seat in Jahannam. So remember, we need to go to the Quranic verse, and then you will understand things. So obviously you are not sure, but never ever make this kind of statements again. So here the Quran Sharif teaches us in Surah 4, chapter 4, Surah Nisa, the chapter on women, and verse 34. So chapter 4, verse 34. Wallati takhafuna nushuzahunna. When your wives, remember, you fear their disobedience, rebelliousness, first step, fa'idhuhunna. You speak to them in a kind, polite, compassionate manner, so that you melt their hearts. Still they don't listen, wahjuruhunna fil mataji. You separate the bed. Separate the bed doesn't mean you take a saw and you make your double bed into two single beds. No, it means you withhold the conjugal rights, you don't fulfill the conjugal rights, and she must know that you are displeased. Yet she's stubborn and obstinate, then Quran says, wadribuhun. The literal translation, you hit her. But hit her don't mean that what you understanding, that you hadi would take out your belt or your hand and you assault her and so forth. That's totally haram in Islam, that is. So what is the meaning? It means you take a ruler or the miswak and you just tap her on the hand. So that is what is meant. You must remember that. There must be no marks, there must be no scars, there must not be on the face. All these are conditions, and that also, although permissible, but frowned upon. Ulaika laysa bikhiyarikum. People who do this, Nabi alayhi salam said, are not good people. So therefore, we should not be doing these type of things here. So we need to be very careful what utterances we make. Don't twist the Quran Sharif and the Ahadith Mubarakah to suit our own whims, fancies and desires. That is what Quran Sharif warns us. This verse I quoted to you now, so about the remedial measures, so chapter 4, verse 34. And therefore the Quran Sharif warns us, us, yudillu bihi kathira wa yahdi bi kathira. Through this Quran Sharif, many people go astray, and through this Quran Sharif, many people receive hidayat. Those who want to suppress their desires, and then they make adjustments, they fit into the Quran Sharif, into the Sunnat Nabawiyah, and they make their desires secondary, and the Quran Sharif primary, for them is guidance. But you get other people who have hidden agenda, ulterior motives, their theory, their concept, their ideas, they want to make that primary, and Quran Sharif or the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam secondary. Those are the people who are dwallu, adwallu. They are astray and they lead others astray. And speaking of that, remember that we are now already starting and living in the time of Dajjal's fitna. It has started already. You can see so many lies and deception going on worldwide, globally. So remember that we must always read the dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatil masihid dajjal. Oh Allah, you protect me from the trials and tribulations of masihid dajjal. Masih, his eyes are damaged, therefore dajjal, the big deceiver. Authentic hadith, remember in Sunan Nasai. And in Musnad Ahmad, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is another fitna and trial and calamity, and that is worse than Dajjal. And what is that? Inna akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum ala immatul mudillun. I fear for you the most, and that is the imams, the maulanas, the muftis, the sheikhs, and all of them, the so-called learned people. They themselves corrupted, and they lead the people to corruption, and they astray and lead others astray. Allah protect us. So therefore we need to be very circumspect and careful. This is authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad.
So Ustaz, isn't it the job of grandparents to look after the grandchildren? The grandparents are saying that they are quite older and they can't manage. Ustad, should I disrespect them? Anonymous angry sister, Ustad.
It's not their job. You got the wrong end of the stick and miswak. Remember, it's not their duty. It's your duty. As the mother and father, they are just doing you a favor. And if they are old, they are sickly, and there's no need for you to get upset when you are shirking your own responsibilities. You must go and thank them that they were doing you a favor. It's like a daughter-in-law doing a favor for a mother-in-law, and then suddenly she cannot manage because she has her own children or what have you. So now the mother-in-law must not get upset. She must go and thank the daughter-in-law. So all this falls in the category min babil ihsan. You are just doing a favor to that person there. So you cannot get upset and say, yeah, the grandparents, no. They is not their duty. It's your duty, your and your husband's duty. If you stop running around with your car and making it a taxi, and your husband stops running around with his friends and playing golf, and pay more attention to your children, so remember that is the right thing to do.
Allahu Akbar. Somebody says here, anonymous Ustad, he says that, dear Mufti Sahab, my wife, she likes my singing, but of course she hates every song that I sing in public. She says my voice belongs to her alone. Is this true? Authentic, Ustad?
So what are you singing? If you are singing Hollywood, Bollywood and all that, although there's no music there, meaning no musical instruments, still is not permissible, because now you start dreaming and start fantasizing of that actor and that actress and about that person and so forth. So you must remember that we first need to know what are you singing. If you are singing, you must remember these haram songs and so forth. Even without musical instruments, is still not permissible. Second one will be, if you are singing, for example, poetry or something in praise of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so obviously that will be fine. But now, why must you cause harm to your marriage, and you want to go sing in public in front of the women and all that? So obviously she is right then, that she will have a right to be upset, because now you want to go and impress the ladies, you want to go and impress the women and so forth. thoughts. So therefore, you're creating fitna and turmoil for yourself, and your marriage will suffer. So if it is something permissible, then sing for her, it's fine. Sing the good poetry or something. But all this Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood business, all that is haram, remember that.
I recently got divorced after a year of separation, Ustad. I am now in iddat. My family is attacking me, saying it is wrong for me to sit in iddat, as iddat is only to see if a woman is pregnant. Please help me, Ustad.
Totally incorrect. People think that they understand the Sharia, but they have a saying in Farsi, in Persian, Neem Hakim Khatra Ejan, and Neem Iman Khatra Iman, Neem Mullah Khatra Iman, meaning that when you have, not a proper doctor, Neem means half. So Neem Hakim, you have a quack, not a proper doctor, then there is fear of your life, because it's not properly. And Neem Mullah, when you have a person who's half-baked, they don't know Sharia, but they think they know Sharia, then there is Khatra Iman, then there is fear for your Iman. So you must remember, you and your husband, you were married, and there was turmoil and turbulence and rows and ructions in your marriage. And thereafter, you were separated for 1 year, meaning there was no real contact. Then after 1 year, he gave you talaq. So iddat is compulsory upon you. So 3 menses is compulsory according to the Hanafis and Hanbalis. And 3 periods of cleanliness is compulsory according to the Shafi'is and the Malikis. And the Quran Sharif states that, وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوا. That is Quran. You must ask them one question. When a lady is in menopause, you must ask them one question. When a lady is in menopause, she's 60, 65 years old, and her husband gave her talaq, is there iddat upon her or not? Quran says this iddat, فَإِدَّتُهُنَّ ثَلَاثَةُ أَشْهُرُ. So her iddat will be 90 days, 3 months, but because she doesn't have menses, she is in a menopause. So if that was the rationale, what they are saying, then there should be no iddat for that lady in menopause. So that is jahalat and ignorance. There's another example of dwallu wa dwallu. They themselves are astray, and they want to lead others astray. So all this is clearly enshrined, you must remember, in the noble Quran. The first verse I quoted to you, Salatata Quru, so Almighty Allah mentions it in Surah 2 and verse number 228. So that is your 3 menses according to Hanafis and Malikis, or 3 periods of cleanliness according to the Shafis Malikis. The second verse I quoted to you, when a lady is divorced and she is in a menopause, then you must remember in Surah 65, that is Surah to Talaq. The Surah's name is Talaq as well, and that is the chapter on divorce. So there Almighty Allah mentions, فَإِدَّتُهُنَّ ثَلَاثَةُ أَشْهُرُ. So there the iddat will be 3 months. So that is what Quran is teaching us. So how can these ladies give all wrong advice like that? And this is mentioned in Surah 65, verse number 4, that about the 3 months it is only for the ladies who are in menopause. The next one, and this we want to educate you. Why does Islam say that after the talaq and divorce there's iddat? Why does Islam say that after death of the husband, you must remember this iddat of 130 days, Arba'at Ashurin wa Ashura, chapter number 2, verse 234? Why? Islam wants to maintain the sacredness of nikah. When I buy a car, I buy a computer, I buy a cell phone, the same day, the next day, I can go trade it in, I can go and sell it, and so forth and so on. So in the Western system, you must remember, today the lady is divorced, today her husband passes away, that same day, the next day, she can get married to somebody else. So that sacredness of nikah, that bond of nikah, loses its value and sacredness. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. The Quran Kareem states that this is a solemn pledge, that wife who was a stranger before nikah, now she becomes your wife after the ceremony, the nikah marriage ceremony, and we use and took the Mubarak blessed name of Almighty Allah. So Islam is not only because we want to see whether the lady is pregnant or not, but it is to a greater extent to maintain the sanctity of this bond of marriage. Yea, in this world, ordinary people like me, Mona Arafat, other people, we perform the nikah, and in Jannat and Paradise, Allah Jalla Wala will continue with nikah, but He, Allah Jalla Wala, will perform the nikah. وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. So that is Allah saying that the nikah will be performed by Him. So therefore, we need to be very careful. Don't worry about these people who are attacking you. Nubahul kilab la yadurru sahab. When the dogs bark, they're gonna harm. You must remember the clouds. So people today don't know Sharia, nothing, but they make big noise. And that's like, you know, so remember that that is unacceptable.
So Ustad, it says, if a wife gave her husband a divorce and the husband signed the paper but did not utter the words of divorce, is the nikah still valid, Ustad?
Remember that if the wife uttered the words of talaq, and the nikah is still valid. But if the wife prepared a document, and in there she wrote that you, the husband, you are issuing the talaq, and so forth, we have to see the document, what is written there. So if in there it was written that the husband is issuing the talaq and so forth, and then he signed it, so then the talaq will be valid. But if in a document is written that she is issuing the talaq, then that holds no weight. Remember, the talaq will not take place, and the nikah will still be valid.
Anonymous says, a Maulana told me that it is haram for women to drive. Is that from Quran or Hadith? And what is the reasons and logic behind it? Who must fetch my kids from school? Our school is 14 kilometers away from home, and my husband works. What is your answer now, Mufti Saab? Anonymous angry sister Ustad.
It's 100% right what the Maulana said. You must remember that in Islam, that the woman's place is at home. Every day you could run taxi 14 kilometers up and down. Do you know in South Africa today, they are raping more than 100 ladies per day, and you're going to go alone running that taxi? So easy for them to just monitor your actions. So therefore, Islam says, number one, that a woman's place is at home. Second one, woman must leave home only if there's a real need. Running a taxi up and down. So you say your son and them are there in school. So very easy. You can organize a love club. 2 families, 3 families, 4 families, and then the driver can go and pick them up. It will work out much cheaper and much safer for you as well. Then the third one is this. You are going, and now Allah forbid you get a puncture. Now you're alone on the road. What and what can happen to you? Fourth one, you must remember when a woman leaves her home, and now what happens? The shaitan, he makes the people look at her. And so many dalail evidence we can give from Quran and Sunnah. So you must remember that what the Maulana said is 100% correct. This business, therefore, I mentioned it yesterday or the other day, that our women, South Africa, Africa, and the Arab countries and the Muslim world, they understood something else totally. That they understood hijab. You just wear the hijab, you just wear the abaya, and maybe some ladies wear niqab, and that is a license for them for loafing. That now they can start going here and there. That is not hijab and niqab in Islam. Hijab and niqab is when there's a need. Not every day you're going to school, every day going to madrasa, running taxi. That definitely is not permissible in Islam.
Ustad, newly wed couple, they say, Mufti Saab, we got married for the past 2 weeks. So they want to know, Ustad, a sister in Islam, she says that there's a marriage conference this week. Should we go or not? Senior ulama will be advising us, Ustad. Must we attend, Ustad?
First and foremost, mashallah, we're happy for you and your husband that you are married 1-2 weeks now. We say barakallahu lak wa barakallahu alayk wa jama'a baynakuma fil khair. That is the masnoon sunnah dua for newly wedded couples, the hadith in Abu Dawood, that Almighty Allah Jalla wala give you barakah from all sides, from the top, from the side, from all directions, and always keep you husband and wife in khair and in goodness.
Ameen.
So the bodies must meet, the hearts must meet, there must be unity of thought, both of you going in the same direction, not in opposite directions. That is when conflict and commotion starts, rows and ructions start. So regarding the conference, yes, somebody send me also on the email or WhatsApp some, you know, who the speakers will be. So let's just analyze some of the speakers. So some of them are Shia sympathizers. They're not even prepared to make a public stance. You must remember that, that the Shias are kuffar. So what benefit to go to them? Secondly, the same person, if you want to call him a Molvi, I don't even call them Molvi. So remember that they are such people, that their own teachers are so disappointed with them because they're appearing on TV and have their what and what programs. So you must remember, so no goodness comes out from that. Second one, if you just look at history of South Africa, previously they had a marriage conference and they had some comedian there, and then they attacked the honorable Sahaba. Any person attacks the Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, or Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah, or Sayyidina Abu Huraira, anyone. And this is the favorite pastime of the Kuffar Shia. So these type of conferences, what good they is. So it is the curse of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, by attending such places there, when the people who are speaking, they are believed themselves are corrupted. Any person, get this thing clear. Last night I mentioned it here in the masjid. Understand this properly. So in our masjid, in Jami Masjid, in Tafsir, there was a question and answer, then I mentioned it. So anyway, that I mentioned to you one Quranic verse and one hadith because of time constraint. And then we'll come to the consequence and the result. Surah 9, verse 79. Surah 9, verse 79. That's Surah Tawbah. It is the battle of Tabuk. 30,000 Sahaba are ready, prepared to leave Medina and go to Tabuk. 50 degrees, midsummer it is. They leave their khajur, they leave their tamar and their dates and everything, their rutab and what have you. And now they have to go. And now logistic, who is going to pay for all this? Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu brought, sponsored 300 camels with the saddles, 1,000 gold coins. And Sahaba Abdurrahman bin Auf and others also contributed substantial amount. So when they did that, the hypocrites who were there in Medina, they said, Mura'in, you're just showing off. The poor, poor Sahaba came and they gave quarter kilo, half kilo, 1 kilo. They're wasting time. What is this? So Almighty Allah defended the honor of the beloved students and companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Surah 9, chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 79. Alladhina yalmizuna almutawwi'ina min almu'minina fi sadaqat walladhina la yajiduna illa juhdahum fayaskharuna minhum. Those people who are mocking, ridiculing, criticizing the sahaba, Allah says, Sakhir Allahu minhum. Allah mocks them. Allah dispatches them straight to Jahannam. This is Quran. Walahum azabun alim. And for them is a painful, horrible, terrible punishment. Hadith, Mustafa rahmatulil alameen. When people today, they're on drugs, they're doing alcohol, wine and swine. So what you say, Allah give hidayat, but Allah guide them. But see here, yeah, what Mustafa rahmatulil alameen, he was, he is, he will always be the only mercy to the entire universe and creation. Idha ra'aytumul ladhina yasubbuna ashabi. When you see those people cursing, swearing my companions and students, faqulu, then you true Muslims say, La'anatullahi ala sharrikum. Allah's curse must be upon you for the evil you are perpetrating, committing. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. So imagine that is the teacher of Islam, and we got these people who don't want to make any statement against the Kuffar Shia, because maybe they want to unite with the Shias, or maybe they're receiving money from the Shia sympathizers, or maybe some other reason to appease the government or what have you. So remember, we don't curry favor with any person, any organization, any government. We, our function is to speak the truth and to defend the family Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honor, the family of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's honor, and the Sahaba's honor. So that is what Islam is all about. So these speakers, yeah, half of them, their own belief, you must remember, are corrupted. So what good is going there? So our fatwa on this, not permissible to attend such type of meetings or seminars or whatever you want to call it.
The newlywed couple wants to know, Ustad, if they go, will they be sinful?
Yes, you will be sinful.
Somebody wants to know, yeah, Ustad, I have lent my husband over 100,000 rand since we are married. Does he have to pay me back? Anonymous sister, Ustad.
If you told him it's a loan, then 100% he must pay you back, whether it's 100 rand or 100,000 rand. And if you gave it to him as a gift, then obviously he doesn't have to pay it back. So therefore, you, the wives, you must make it very clear what is the terminology you are using when you give your husband. Is it a gift? Is it a loan? Is it a whatever investment or whatever it is? So you must be very, very clear, because afterwards, this leads to a lot of problems, especially when things turn sour in the marriage and so forth. So therefore, in Islam, saf mu'amalat, you must keep your business dealings and all these dealings very, very pure and clean. You must know what's happening. Then there'll be no argument, because everything was already very clear and you articulated yourself and so forth. So therefore, Islam teaches us, wa ashhidu idha tabaya'tum, that when you do business, it's always good, it's not compulsory, but it is desirable and meritorious that you even make witnesses. So thereafter, there won't be no arguments and disputes.
Ustad, what's the reward of iddat?
You must remember the iddat reward will be you are practicing on the law of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. When you practice on the law of Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ يُتْوِئِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, that whoever is obedient to Almighty Allah and to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for that person is the supreme, supreme success. Allah Jalla Wala grants you Jannat al-Firdaus. And that is why we have the Sharia, so we can draw a distinction between the truth and falsehood. Allah grant us tawfiq.
One more question, Ustad. It says that, Mufti Sahab, I wanted to know, if things don't work out in a person's life and you don't know why, is it right to curse anyone, Ustad?
No, you can't curse anyone and start blaming other people for your own, you understand, musibat, calamities, disasters, catastrophe, call it whatever you want to. So now you start cursing your parents, start cursing your wife, cursing your neighbor, cursing this one. All that is haram, brother. So you must remember, you need to do introspection. You need to do some self-x-raying. In life, you will see 80-90% of the time, your zabat, hal. You know what is zaban hal? And that is your zaban, your tongue. That is what we speak with. And one is your zaban hal. Your heart will tell you that, yes, yesterday I did this wrong, and therefore today these are the consequences. Why did you miss Fajr Salat? Because you were watching movies. Why this happened? Because I was busy with this and that haram activity on the internet. So you look at yourself, that you will see, that you just go rewind and you will see. So therefore Allah puts problems for us. And that problem also has a silver lining. And it is a blessing in disguise, as enshrined in a noble Quran. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى, that surely we will punish them, you must remember, with the smaller punishment, دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ, and not the bigger one, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that they come back to the right path. So see, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala gives us these punishments so that we wake up. And it is a wake-up call. It could be death, but Allah giving us another chance, another opportunity. So this is mentioned in Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, chapter 32 and verse 21. So each one of us should know that calamities come because of our own deeds and actions. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, and whosoever, remember, that experiences difficulties, difficulties, then see 90% is because of our own vices and sins. Yes, you have the very pious people, the awliyaullah. For them, calamity comes, لِرَفْءِ الدَّرَجَاتِ, to elevate their rank and status. But that's 10%, 15, 20%. 80, 90% people, mortals like me and you, is because of our own vices and sins.
21 minutes to 12, we go for an interval. When we come back, we will inshallah continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah.
18 minutes to 12 o'clock. Somebody says, "Yo, Ustad, it says that if we got divorced in court, but not Islamically, are we still married, Ustad?"
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In a case like that, we must draw a distinction. Let's just say your nikah was performed in the masjid in 2010, 2015. That is your nikah, your Islamic marriage. Then you went to court and then you got the civil marriage. Now your marriage, remember, seems to be on the rocks. Your husband is in the docks. So what happens now? He went there and then he divorced you as far as the civil marriage goes. So that marriage is now dissolved and finished, but your nikah is still valid. You are still Islamically husband and wife. If he, the husband, passes away, you, the wife, will inherit. You, the wife, pass away, the husband will inherit. So your nikah is still valid and intact, although the civil marriage. Sometimes people give the talaq for tax purposes, sometimes because they use the wrong matrimonial regime that they're supposed to register ANC without the accrual system, the anti-nuptial contract, and they didn't know. So that time there, then they made it COP, community of property. So therefore now they want to change it. So that will have no impact upon your nikah. Your nikah will still be valid. There's no problem with that.
The question says, Ustad, the person that she is intending to make nikah to has given his wife talaq, not given his wife divorce according to the South African law. What proof can be requested, Ustad? Anonymous.
Again, it's a similar question. You must remember that. Now let's just crystallize and analyze this whole question. That a proposal came for you, sister, right? And it seems that you are very interested. But when you start doing your homework and start probing the matter, this person is married and he has a wife, but he gave divorce to his wife. That is the civil marriage. That is what they registered in court or home affairs and what have you. But the nikah is still valid. You must remember that. So you must tell him to show documents, or you must ask that wife and so forth, that is she divorced or what have you, and who are the witnesses. All said and done. My advice to you, I don't know you, I don't know this person who proposed to you. Bad idea. You must remember there's already some clandestine activities taking place, cloak and dagger business taking place. So sister, just call it off, and bad idea. Don't even think of getting married to that person there. He's already playing games and so forth, and we don't even know whether your father and your family are happy about this or not. So anyway, seeing that you contacted me and contacted us here, this is the advice I'm giving you. Just call it off and read 2 rakat salatu shukr that you didn't get married to him. Allah will give you someone better. And today is Wednesday. After Zuhur salat, read 2 rakat extra and read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O Allah, grant us our spouses and children that are the coolness of our eyes. So that is what you should do. Why you want to get? He might have children, and then you have to look after his children. So many problems there will be. Just stay far away from that.
I see, Ustad, the listener says that husband and wife, both of them, Ustad, they were arguing during the lockdown that Salah would be performed at home, the reading Juma Salah at home. Now that the masajids are open, Ustad, is it compulsory to go to the masjid or not? Dear Mufti Sahab.
Yes, it's compulsory. You must remember, you can't be making Jummah Salah Day in your house now and so forth, when all the masajid, not so all, let me just rephrase that, when majority of the masajid are open, and now you, the men, you must go to the masjid. So you can't be reading 4 or 5 of you there at home and so forth. So yes, you might have some old person and so forth, 80, 90, 100 years old. So for him if he can't come, he must just read Zohar Salat at home. It don't mean now all of you must read at home because of him. No. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa usaha. So remember, Allah has not burdened any person more than his or her ability, capability, capacity. So if there is an old sickly person, so he will read Zohar Salat at home. The rest of you, the men, no more Salat in your garages and outbuildings. You go to the masjid. And we said majority of the masajid are open in South Africa, Africa, other parts of the world. We know that even now you must remember certain masajid are closed. Whoever closed it, whether it's the Maulana, the Imam, the Sheikh, the trustee, Allah's curse is upon them. Quran is saying, Surah 2, verse number 114, Lahum fi dunya khizyun wa lahum fil akhirati adabun azim. For them in this world, there is, you must remember, disgrace and humiliation. And in the year after, there is a horrible, terrible punishment. Therefore, we can't forget this, that Ramadan 2020 will be written in history of the world, unprecedented from time of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that right till now, it never happened. You show us some authentic books that way it happened, that Maulvis and Imams in it go to court to close the masjid. Allah's curse on people who do these type of things, and therefore they suffer humiliation, disgrace, and in Ramadan on top of it. So you must remember that. So Almighty Allah is teaching us, وَمَنْ أَظَلَمُ, who can be the bigger zalim and oppressor and tyrant than this? Yes, today you get the stunpot dictators in the Muslim countries, that you must remember this ruler and that ruler. They even demolish masjids, you see, there in Egypt. So people like that are the biggest stunpot dictators, and Allah's curse is on them. So you must remember that we have to go to the masjid. For our five daily salat is wajib, remember that. And Jummah salat, you must read there. No more home business and in your outbuilding and so forth. You must go masjid. You make the masjid abad, you read salat in your masjid, Allah will protect you and your family. You don't read salat, you read when you feel like, then remember you're inviting the wrath and the anger and punishment of Almighty Allah. That is what Islam is teaching us.
Ustaz, the brother from Mayfair wants to know that, can we expose these people that who closes the masjid? Will we get sent for that, Ustaz?
So finish what you have to expose them. They expose themselves. You must remember that. Nowadays, you mean. If you mean nowadays, that you must remember that they close the masjid even now. So 100% you must expose them and teach them Surah 2 and verse 114 and tell them Allah Ta'ala is going to humiliate them and has already humiliated them. And for them in the year after is a horrible, terrible punishment. No masjid belongs to any person. It does not belong to a family, it does not belong to organization, it does not belong to the Imam or Sheikh or Maulana or Mufti, it doesn't belong to the trustees. Wa annal masajida lillah. Every masjid belongs solely only to Almighty Allah. Therefore, for a masjid, the prerequisite and condition is it must be waqf. Waqf means that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is the sole owner. So that is what we must realize here. And Almighty Allah has mentioned this in Surah chapter, Surah 72, Suratul Jinn, and verse number 18. Chapter 72, Surah 72, Surah Jinn, and verse number 18.
Somebody wants to know, Ustaz, this is from Bosmond, anonymous sister. Dear Mufti Saab, I like your show. I listen to you every day. My late dad left us with a fortune of inheritance. Must my husband be included in my will to receive part of this share? How must my will be written out? Kanala, Ustaz.
Baya danki, jazakallah khair. They say, in mansa dwert is anar mansa brewert. We need to analyze things here properly, sister. When your father passed away, then your mother, if she was alive, so she was the wife, she inherited 12.5%. It is your inherited. So you inherited 1 million, your brother inherited 2 million, and so forth, because you say it's substantial amount, so I'm just rounding it off. It might be more. So anyway, you must remember that. So that is now finished. Your father passed away. Every day you must make dua for him and read Surah 14, verse 41. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me and forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. Give out charity daily for him, for your beloved father, mother. Even if mother is alive, it's fine. So 1 rand, 5 rand, 10 rand. You can see how many poor people they are, Muslim, non-Muslim. So that it will be a great, great act of generosity on your behalf, and your parents will also benefit in this world and the year after. Those who are alive, like your mother, if she's alive in this world, she benefits. Your father passed away, in the year after, he benefits. Now, what you must do, suddenly you have become a rich lady. Now you worry that this husband of mine, how much he's going to inherit? Yes, he must inherit, sister. How much your husband will inherit if you pass away before him? 25%. 1/4 he will receive. And then the remainder will go to your children. If your mother is alive, she will inherit 1/6. Your mother passed away, your father already passed away. We're not sure about the mother. But if she passed away, then the remainder 75% will go to your children, your sons and your daughters, ratio 2:1. So this is what we're going to do, okay? And you mentioned the place there, Bosmon. You must be very careful. There are bias kelems down in South Africa and in Bosmon Oak. So you must remember that the ladies and the men will know that, oh, this lady get bias health. So you must be very careful now. So, okay. So now we go to the next part. So what you must do is this. You love your children. So you call them, you have a meeting with them. And you tell them that, see, that in my lifetime, I'm giving you 50,000, 100,000, and you give it to them, and they become the owner, and you can't stipulate any conditions. And when you give during your lifetime, the sons and daughters will get equal amount as far as possible. But maybe you have a son or a daughter, and you know they are not so clever, intelligent, or maybe the daughter divorced, or whatever, I'm just giving, we don't know who you are. So in that case, you give them more, not because of favoritism, but because of circumstances. So all that will be permissible. So what you should do is, from now already, start, like, you know, distributing your assets and your wealth that you inherited. So when you pass away, then remember, your husband will not inherit millions and millions and thousands. He must inherit, but rather set up your children as well. But remember, if your husband is very good, then you must give him also a gift also. So he will say Ameen very loudly.
Kusa, let's go to a sister, since you are speaking to this question. She says, Mufti Sahab, I hear you. I'm from Johannesburg. As a wife, does my husband's kids from his previous marriage also inherit from my shares when I pass away? I brought these twins up from the age of 1 year old. These kids are not my biological kids, but I did breastfeed them while they were growing up. Ustad,
remember, your husband's children from the previous marriage don't inherit from you. And even if you breastfed them, so they are your stepchildren and they are your foster children. Stepchildren, foster children, adopted children, none of them inherit. So I made 3 statements there. Stepchildren, meaning your husband, he was married, his wife passed away, he divorced her, then he married you. So when you pass away, sister, those children there, we call them stepchildren, they don't inherit. You breastfed them when they were 6 months old, 1 year old, whatever. So remember, still they don't inherit. Your adopted children, they don't inherit. Yes, if you want, this is your prerogative, this is your choice. After the burial, funeral expenses, and the debts of the deceased, then you come to wasiyah. Wasiyah is to bequeath. For none is, then a maximum 1/3 of the net estate. So then you can bequeath for them if you want to. There's nothing compulsory, but they don't inherit. There's no inheritance for them. Inheritance is for your husband. Inheritance is for your biological children. Inheritance is for your parents, when everybody must be Muslim. So let's take a case study. You say that you pass away, you left your husband, so 25%, and then you must remember you have your parents, so 1/6, 1/6 for them, 1/3 collectively, it will be shared equally. Then you have a son, he will take the the remainder. You have sons, you will take the remainder. You have son and daughter, then you make three shares. Two shares for the son and one share for the daughter. So that is how it will work, sister. Your stepchildren, foster children, adopted children, no inheritance for them.
Mm. Ustad, is auctions halal to buy from? My wife buys ornaments just to waste my money because she thinks it's cheap, not realizing that it's second-hand items that may or may not work. Is this not gambling? As auctions don't give guarantees, Ustad.
Auction sale is permissible. Bay'u may yazid. We call in Arabic nilam, in Urdu and English auction. We gave you in three languages. So you must remember there's a car. So they say that the starting price, 100,000, 100,000, and now 150, 150, 200, 250,000, take it. So you blind? No, you can see the car. So you must remember that. That's different issue. Your wife is going to waste it. That's a different issue. But auction is totally permissible, provided that merchandise is permissible also. So whether she's going to buy jewelry or she's going to buy ornaments or she's going to buy whatever, like some, you understand, electric items or what have you. So that is permissible. So we must remember that. Second one, she's wasting money, all that. Then simple, you don't give her so much money, you cut it and say, I was giving you 5,000 rand, now I'll give you 4,000 rand. That's between you and her. But the auctions are permissible, remember that.
Brother in Pretoria says that dear Mufti Sahab, auctions at the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for slaves, was it permissible? For example, if we auction Mufti Sahab or we auction Mulana Arafat, Ustad.
So you must remember this day that example is wrong. So you must remember today in the world, no country, they are slaves. So therefore, that example is totally unacceptable and is wrong. So for any person, remember, because there's no Islamic slave, Muslim slaves in the world today. So today you will say they auction, you must remember cars, they auction, you must remember these different items and what have you. So yes, it's totally permissible, you must remember that.
Someone wants to know, Ustad, will my father's daughter from the first marriage inherit, Ustad?
So remember what, when it is your father's daughter, whether from first marriage, second marriage or 10th marriage, that every time the wives are passing away and your father got married 5 times, 10 times, it don't mean he had 10 wives one time. So he got, you must remember that he married like this because the wife passed away or divorced. As long as it is the biological child, biological son, biological daughter, then they must inherit from your father. I don't know who your father is, so don't go past judgment now. I just want to show you, teach you one masla quickly. In today's world, a lot of funny, crazy things happen. A person, we just say, leave your father out. A person, he eloped with a lady, illicit relationship, and thereafter you must remember that they had a child. And this is a haram child. So whenever there's a B, illegitimate child, haram child, only in that case the lineage will go to the mother and not to the father. So when the father, inverted commas, passes away, the child will not inherit. The child passes away, the father, inverted commas, will not inherit. But in that case also, if the father, he wants to bequeath and make wasiyah for that son, daughter, because he knows that he was responsible, so in a case like that, remember to make wasiyah up to 1/3 will be permissible. But all other cases, and provided that son, daughter are Muslim, so then they must inherit. So that is what Islam is teaching us. Jazakallahu khairan, inshallah. Next up, 12 o'clock, the news. 12 to 1 will be Brother Alfas Nkosi, and that will be the current affairs. 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan, and inshallah, 5 past 1 to up past 1, we'll continue with Surah Sabah, and thereafter, 1:30 to 2 will be that Surah Baqarah verses 180 to 182. 2 to 3 will be Sheikh Zakaria in the mercy of Allah. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's program. 3:30 to 5:30, Brother Amin Templeton, inshallah, the business news. And then 5:30 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of today's tafsir that you will hear after 1 o'clock. 7:30 to 8, mashallah, Imam Yunus Patel, rahimahullah. 8 to 10, today, our brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan, mashallah, today he has a wonderful special specialist, Dr. Uzair Amin, and they are discussing Alzheimer's and so forth between 8 and 9. And 9 to 10, they're discussing with Maulana Salim Kareem. So wonderful program. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We thank all the wonderful listeners for tuning and listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Brother Alfa Zinkosi.